Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcasts. In podcast 708, the Facebook very bad, no good data breach used to elect a bad person president and other mayhem, or regulating the evil tech giants and the internet because something has to be done, right? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We'll talk about it in podcast 708. And of course, the applause is for Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for home or business, because when it comes to keeping all your systems operating these days at home or your business, when you have plumbing or heating problems or air conditioning problems as we get into spring and summer, you want reliable service, and that means Ryan Plumbing and Heating. They are located in St. Paul in Frogtown. They've been there for four generations. Call them at 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They are great with emergency service. When my furnace went down a few weeks ago, they provided a great quote, and they were able to come and fix it the next day. So quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. And again, for emergency service, they're great, reliable service. Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Residential and business. Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. So this is a breaking story. I've been watching it for a while, but times and places and people might change. In any case, the general direction of the story has been set. In other words, the storyline, the story that American political operatives used Facebook to manipulate voters. And maybe the Russians were involved and maybe not. And they may have broken laws, but maybe not. And they stole your data. That's the storyline. Where is it coming from? Britain's Channel 4 has broken the story, which exploded this weekend in the UK Guardian newspaper, as well as Channel 4 in England. And of course, the New York Times. The guy in the center of the story is a guy named Christopher Wiley, who's an information tech, genius, who Wunderkind, who at 27 or 28 has been doing data mining type things for 5 or 6 years. He's a Canadian, and you'll find out more about him going forward. But there's other particulars and other people in this story that are interesting. One of the companies in question is trying to stop the Channel 4 expose. Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar of the Senate Judiciary Committee wants Facebook's founder Mark Zuckerberg to testify. Everyone's upset because Facebook didn't do anything about this. So to get you up to speed, I'm just going to play the intros of two stories, one from Channel 4 and one from CBS. I don't know if this is going to help you understand it. My suggestion is that you do your own research so that you learn a little bit more about the story. I'll put links up on the blog at thebobdavispodcast.com. So here's Channel 4's intro to the story.
Chris Wiley yesterday on Channel 4 News in The Observer and New York Times went public in dramatic style. He's the former director of research at Cambridge Analytica, the company which says it uses data to change audience behavior, the company which notoriously some credit with helping Donald Trump take the White House.
They knowingly misrepresent the truth in such a way that is conducive to their objective.
What's your proof for that?
I was there.
Cambridge Analytica deny any wrongdoing. They've tried to portray Wiley as a fantasist with an axe to grind. But what they can't deny, as he revealed yesterday, is their role in the harvesting of 50 million Facebook profiles. Profiles handed to Cambridge Analytica by an academic who claims he had user permission, but who Facebook says breached their policies in the process.
And if that's too complicated, here's how CBS News covered the story.
We're learning more about Cambridge Analytica and its mining of data on millions of Americans for political purposes. According to The Guardian, the firm harvested personal data from U.S. voters without permission. The company, which was headed at the time by former Trump advisor Steve Bannon, has since been suspended from Facebook. Dan Patterson is a senior writer for Tech Republic who's been following the developments very closely. Dan, what can you tell us about exactly what Cambridge Analytica was able to get?
Cambridge Analytica used surveys and a number of other tactics to exploit a loophole in the Facebook API that allowed them to extract data from the social network. They then used machine learning and big data analytics to build profiles about voters. They also exploited some of the worst tendencies of voters. For example, in order to pull information from the Facebook API, a user needs to interact with that asset, meaning you have to do more than just click like, you have to do something, be engaged with that asset. Once you engage with that asset, Facebook gives a company a tremendous amount of information. So Cambridge took that data and they built profiles, psychographic profiles, as they say. But what that really means is, just like in other advertising mediums, they built profiles of voters and used information to trigger those voters in order to perform an action. In this case, the action was vote for a particular candidate.
Well, I'm a little bit more confused than I was when I started. A firestorm of controversy with every loaded word in the business. Keywords, words like API, asset, data breach, private data sold, and so on. Stuff that most people who are on Facebook have no clue about. And the cherry on top, well, they used your personal data. They stole your personal data to manipulate you into voting for him. So first, what's an API? Basically, Facebook is an API. YouTube is an API. It's a program that lives on a central website that sends information back to the website. More about that later, because these companies, YouTube, Facebook, Google, and others, are data mining companies. That is their product. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit more a little later on in this podcast. So according to reports, two different companies were involved in creating an API. This is a survey that appeared on Facebook that users could take, that when you took the survey, it then opened your so-called private data to one of these companies, which then downloaded your data and all the data of your friends. This is what Christopher Wiley created. This was a data mining tool that could suck all the data out of Facebook. And they built profiles on something like alternately 30 to 50 million people. It may have been more. The data may have been destroyed. It may not have been destroyed. But the data was then used to build models that could be used to manipulate users on Facebook and YouTube and other social media by changing the culture and thus political outcomes. Now, this is going to be a huge story because it involves all the keywords, as I said, in political news in the current time frame. We've got Russians, we've got Steve Bannon, we've got the 2016 campaign for president, we've got the president, we've got lower tier candidates like Ted Cruz in the primary races and political activities in the Ukraine, Africa, and the UK with Brexit, plus people like Republican bigwig, the evil Robert Mercer, and others. But it is most important because it is being sold as a data breach, a huge data breach. That is, that something highly confidential was taken from Facebook users, and something's got to be done about this. Now, the Facebook brass is going to be grilled in front of stone-faced lawmakers eventually because they somehow let this happen. They will, of course, be asked, when did you know about this? What did you know? How could this have happened? This is an outrage. They will be lectured and screamed at. And of course, this will lead reports and investigations and eventually make its way into politics. The idea that something has to be done, some law has to be passed to stop these tech giants, Facebook and Google. Especially, but also you can throw Twitter and Amazon and anyone else who collects data under the bus. Anyone else who is either becoming quote unquote a monopoly, which is not true, or something to that effect. Because, you know, we thought Facebook was a fun place to share pictures, right? And Instagram was a fun place to put pictures of your party up that you had. And we thought Google was a howl because we could search things like bursting pimples and watch crazy videos of that. Or we could see pictures of Rihanna's new dress. What these companies are, as I said earlier, what they all are is that they are data companies. From the very first, the people who ran these companies and their investors were excited about the data collection possibilities, which would prove to be very valuable. I watched an interview with Mark Zuckerberg on some business channel that was done, I think it was even before 2000 when he had first started Facebook, or maybe it was 2002 or something, I don't know. And among, you know, the occasional, aw, shucks, gee, I'm just a kid kind of thing, he talks about the capabilities to data mine using Facebook and the information on the users and how that can be used to create a better usage experience. So it was present. Data collection and mining and analysis has been present with all of these companies from the very, very first. They are first and foremost, in my view, data collection companies. They collect vast amounts of data on individuals, and then they sell that data at prices the market will bear. That is what they have done since the beginning, and they employ some very smart people to create products, analytic products that can help businesses reach consumers. And I want to talk a little bit about data because I have some experience with this back in the foggy past when we didn't have these tools. But survey research, and that means these polls. So remember during the election, we were talking about the polls, and polls say this and the polls say that. Polling data is archaic by metadata standards and by data collected through social media sites and other kinds of sites, at least at the standards that they're setting. You know, years ago, if you were able to extract a telephone number, then that was all you needed to gather all kinds of information that was actually more reliable than any survey research company. I work with a guy that started a company that did that, and Nielsen / Arbitron bought that company because it would have put them out of business. So that kind of stuff, telephone numbers, address and age and sex and how much money you make and the kinds of things you respond to in surveys, is old school and really not very accurate. Now, all we need to do is access your computer and all that data can be ours. It can be analyzed statistically to provide clients with information about the consumer, because when you have the average survey collects information from 1,200 to 1,500 people, right? Even a nationwide survey. And it's very limited and one-dimensional in terms of what it can provide. When you have a million records, you have something that's statistically extremely stable and something that you can use to analyze using all sorts of analytical tools, statistical tools, because you have so many cases, it's so reliable and stable. And this is nothing unusual. Big companies have been collecting data for years. They've been talking about psychographics for years. The word psychographic is not some, something shrouded in secrecy or even something new. This has been around for a long time. In all these stories about Cambridge Analytical and Christopher Wiley and the Russian guy who's under the company that they harvested the data, the professor who said that they were harvesting the data for educational purposes, Steve Bannon and Robert Mercer and all the rest, the news outlets keep writing that your data was compromised, which implies illegality. And I'm not going to say that nothing illegal was done, but I think it's going to be interesting to see that there certainly was things done against supposedly Facebook's policy, but Facebook didn't do anything about it. But these stories just say data. They never say what data was taken. And it looks, by my research, like mostly it was the interactions that you had on Facebook, your interests, comments, as well as the same of your friends, and maybe your address. And if you freak out about that, if you voted, your address is available on the voting records. If you pay taxes, that stuff is available, and it's available in a lot of different places. Your electric bill, if you pay bills online, that stuff's all available. Now, I haven't seen anything about credit cards, medical information, driver's license numbers, social security numbers, bank accounts, or anything else like this. My suspicion is that with all the data from Facebook, they didn't need anything like that to build a profile of who you are and what your psychographic is, not your social research data, like how much money you make. And the fact is, when you sign up for Facebook, you should read the disclosure statement, because that statement says, and of course, every time they update it, you have to sign it again. Basically, when you click on agree, you are saying that all the data that they collect on you is theirs. They own it, not you. And Facebook willingly gave this data to this company. There's two companies involved, and the first company took the data that they said was for educational purposes, and somehow it ended up with this Cambridge Analytica group, which was owned by Bob Mercer and controlled by Steve Bannon. So that's the big issue. So anything that you do on Facebook or Google is not yours. In fact, all the stuff that you do online, is someone else's and available to someone else. All you have to do is spend some time watching Ed Snowden videos, and you're going to know that you should never put anything truly confidential on your computer, and certainly not your handheld device. These devices and anything in your home connected to the internet through Wi-Fi is a robust data gathering and espionage channel for anybody who wants to know anything about you and has the tools and the knowledge to access it and use it. But there's more to this story, because the impression being presented is that these poor dumb bastards don't know any better, and that these bad people manipulated us and people and voters in Britain and the United States. They manipulated the British into exiting from the EU, poor Britain, and in the US, they manipulated Americans into voting for Donald Trump, poor America. If we just had regulations on the internet and the tech giants, which are evil, even though people like Peter Thiel say Silicon Valley is all leftist, oh wait, that makes them evil if you're a Republican. So this is how Republicans and Democrats all want to regulate technology, then all will be well. Forget for a moment that what Cambridge Analytica supposedly did was against Facebook policy, as I pointed out. Subterfuge was allegedly used, but subterfuge might not be illegal, as I have said. They said it was for academic uses. It turned out to be for commercial uses. So then we get Senator Amy Klobuchar, who's famous for doing nothing, basically protecting children and mothers, and now she has all these questions about these big evil data companies, and what's coming is a movement to regulate these companies. Now, we're talking about social media in this podcast, but I have been talking about trade protection. I'm not thrilled with doing another political podcast, but this is about social media, so that's kind of fun. But we will get back to this, because I want to do one on economics as well. And one of the chief stories these days in economics is trade protection with Trump's tariffs. And with all the talk of foreign manufacturing with Trump, some companies are preparing to bring some of their manufacturing back to the United States. We call it reshoring. If this is you, if you're in the decision-making chain and you're looking around for an American manufacturing company that's great, let me recommend DepoStar, D-E-P-O-T, DepoStar, American Design, Engineering, and Manufacturing. Visit their website at DepoStar.com or click on the banner at the top of the page at TheBobDavisPodcasts.com. Now, I've been talking about data. I've been talking about politics. I want to just say a couple things about data. I use it. I have it. If you have done any Facebook boosting, or if you have Google Analytics on your website, then you've seen psychographics, so you know what they are. And the Facebook boost tool, which I have used, is very accurate, very reliable. It works. And for me, of course, all I need are the clicks. I don't have to sell anything, but it can be used to very tightly market to groups of people, using all sorts of tools. And if you spend $30, it's one thing. If you spend $3,000, it's entirely a different thing. It's nothing anybody in marketing hasn't heard about. When we talk about millennials working in social media, this is what they're doing. They're working for ad agencies, assisting with their social media strategies, their search, their SEO, all these things. These are the tools today that help your company be known. If someone can mine Facebook for psychographics, then it might be a useful political tool in the right hands. That's all it is. And, going back to the 1800s, political managers have used, the latest and greatest unknown tool to get people elected. You know, the problem in politics is people fight dirty. They always have, whether it's Nixon sending his guys out with walking around money, Johnson stuffing ballots, Mayor Daley of Chicago working with the mob. What a surprise to make sure Kennedy won Cook County. We all know that Bill and Hillary Clinton are no angels with their Clinton Global Initiative, which went belly up as soon as everybody figured out she wasn't going to be president and they weren't going to be able to buy influence, and going back to Arkansas. So if somebody comes along and says, I have a way to get all these data, analyze it, and give you data that will allow you to build models for persuasion and then use this platform called Facebook and YouTube and others to then turn those profiles around and spread information to people that can be activated to be persuaded, and I'm running a campaign and it's not illegal, I'll take it. And I think the problem here is that the Republicans, in this case, the hated Mercers and Steve Bannon, did this. is doubly vexing to people who believe that power is their birthright on the left. Now, if something illegal was done, that's another thing entirely, and I'll tell you about that in a second. But the deal is now Facebook and Google are General Motors and Standard Oil of Ohio and U.S. Steel, and they're going to control us unless we regulate them. And if we don't get on top of this internet thing, which should have been bringing us opera and ballet and Tolstoy novels all these years, but instead has become a place for porn and bullying and political shenanigans, if we don't get control of this internet, it's going to ruin our society. And I just don't agree with that. First of all, some disclaimers, as I told you I would give you. It sure looks to me like somebody was spending a fair amount of money to play games with the election in the U.S. in 2016. Whether it put the guy we have now in the White House really has not been determined. I read in one of these articles about the Cambridge Analytica thing, they don't really know if what they did helped Trump. But one thing is for sure, the sudden turn of Silicon Valley, which used to be a bastion of freedom and free speech and everything else, into this evil thing, if that's what the Russians intended, then it worked. So the violation, and this is one of the disclaimers for Cambridge, is that foreign citizens may have been working for them on U.S. elections, which violates the election law of the U.S. states, perhaps U.S. federal election law. They were British and Canadian nationals. I don't know that they were Russians. There was a meeting between the CEO of the company that the Cambridge Analytica and leaders in Cambridge with Lukoil, which is a Russian oil company controlled by one of Putin's guys. If you watch Netflix, there is a documentary and certainly a point of view documentary called Vlad, which will explain to you kind of how Putin has built his leadership, his controlling base in Russia, and it's pretty chilling. So he's pretty clever. So if Russian state security has been sort of vertically integrated and can be used to play games in foreign countries like the United States, then, you know, I mean, that's something that has to be proven. Is it Facebook's fault? Did they do something wrong? Should they be regulated for this reason and so forth? I think what Amy Klobuchar is trying to figure out is whether we should change election law so that the companies involved can be revealed. The problem with doing that is, you know, you can start companies and start shadow companies and other companies that don't have your name on it. You don't have to. You can be a trustee or not a trustee. You know, trying to say we have to reveal who these contributors are and so forth, you may never find out some of this stuff. But anyway, they did. The company did claim Russia as one of their clients at one point, which they now deny. So it's going to be hard to tell. But, and this is a big but, where do the individual citizens come in? This is the whole point of this podcast, because we're going to hear this talk about regulating these companies, which really have been amazing. You know, we used to talk about Microsoft as this horrible, evil company that had to be broken up. And then Bill Gates retired and became the chairman, and it took him out of the public eye. You know, Google is still run by sort of a triumvirate, but, you know, I would they try to keep these guys out of the media. The same with Zuckerberg. I would imagine that you will see Zuckerberg retire at some point and become the chairman and kind of get out of the way. But really, this is about personal responsibility. Where do you get your news? You know, I hear people all the time saying, well, I don't get my news from Facebook. And the answer is, yes, you do, because I saw your post with a link to a YouTube video, you know, 2 weeks ago. And good for you. And thanks for listening to my podcast and following the links. And I am sure that all the other citizen journalists and independent struggling media types like myself thank you as well. But if you don't do any further research and you don't learn to suss out facts and really kind of understand what is it that we actually know about this, that, or the other thing, instead of taking the word of some crazy video about Hillary Clinton being a reptilian alien, which she is, of course, then, you know, it's buyer beware and woe to you. And this is the problem that we have politically in this country. You know, I'm not taking a position on whether Donald Trump is a bad president or a good president. I don't know that he's that much worse or that much better than Hillary Clinton and vice versa, to tell you the truth. And people hate hearing that. We don't know whether the Russians intervened. They're trying to figure that out. So far, they haven't really come up with much that proves that Trump had anything to do with it, or that Clinton did anything wrong or anything else. It survives as an entertainment for all of us on Saturday Night Live, which nobody watches, and everything else. The answer to these problems that we are having is not regulating information. This is, again, part of the disruption, which is gathering steam in media, especially in this country, but in all business. The worst thing we can do is regulate it to try to slow it down. In fact, we should be speeding it up. Misinformation can be spread. It was always true that misinformation could be spread. This is nothing new. And usually it spreads to the people who are most vulnerable. And I'm going to say something that's harsh, but it spreads to the most stupid people. And by the way, some of the most stupid people are not the people that you think are stupid. They are the people who seem the smartest. The dumbest people are the ones that think they're the smartest. If you act like you don't know anything, then you've got a fighting chance. But the misinformation, wherever, whatever channel it comes out of, is used to affect social change. Now, we use social media today in this country to advertise and to get information out. And social media is one of the tools that allows us to, change culture. Now, you can come up with all kinds of rules and algorithms to stop it, and they will defeat it because, in fact, that's exactly what they did with this. They defeated the rule that said that you couldn't use the information for commercial purposes. So there might be a lawsuit involved, but they were willing to take that chance, and they did it anyway because social media is how you influence culture in this country, and culture comes before politics. And speaking of social media, thanks for listening to the Bob Davis podcasts at Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, BlogTalkRadio.com, the streaming at thebobdavispodcast.com. Really appreciate the likes and the shares and the favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram as well. I hope people don't stop using social media because citizen journalists and people who do videos, whether it's about motorcycles or politics or whatever, are using this tool, which is an amazing tool, and the rest of the internet to build audience and to be part of the next media revolution in this country, and it would be sad if all that got cut off. So it's something to think about. Thanks for your donations for the BobDavisPodcast.com. Wayne Nelson, $75. Really appreciate it. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast, Podcast 708. Now go out to Facebook and check your data. Thanks once again to Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for Homer Business for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast. Because remember, when it comes to keeping all of your systems up and running right, especially these days at home or business, you want reliable service. That means Ryan Plumbing and Heating. RyanPlumbing.com, or you can call them in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. And just one final disclaimer, I should say that, I've been thinking about this as I put this podcast together and thinking about all this. You know, Facebook isn't exactly the greatest company, and they don't have the greatest, they don't set a great example. They like to deny that they have been involved in things, and they wait until they're forced to. But that doesn't mean that we should throw the baby out with the bathwater. We'll stay on this and talk about it again in the Bob Davis Podcasts at thebobdavispodcast.com, Podcast 708.